Can you believe it? We're 3 weeks away from Easter. Time is ticking. 3 weeks from now, Easter Sunday, which is always a great celebration. I think a question I have for you all is Holy Week ahead, and if we want to have extra services during Holy Week. And I want to be responsive if there are several of you who are around and want to do a service. I was thinking perhaps a Monday, Thursday service or a Good Friday service. So if that's of interest and you're around, come pull my ear, literally or figuratively, and we'll make an arrangement for a special service. That said, we're going to have on Palm Sunday, so the Sunday before Easter, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt for children. So pass on the word if you know someone who has kids and their kids would like candy and a game. We're going to have that right after the worship service. So you can spread the word about that for the 24th of this month. If you want to help contribute and bring some chocolate candy eggs for the project, we'd love for you to bring a bag of eggs next week as we prepare. But this is a time in the Christian season of the year where it's really a kind of a climactical time in the Christian year. So we want to do some special worship and some special activities. And I know someone else had mentioned maybe we want to plan a picnic either around Easter or the weekend after. So again, open to ideas in the community. So let's put our heads together and come up with kind of our plan of action ahead. This week we're going to look at kind of the context setting up the crucifixion. And this is the passage that was just read in John. It's also recorded in other Gospels. Mark has it, Matthew, Luke. The encounter that Jesus has with Pontius Pilate. And I just want to highlight that Pontius Pilate is a recorded historical figure in our history, as is Jesus the Christ. And so these are not just some mythological stories, but they're stories you can go to several antiquity books in the New Testament recorded, but you can also go to ancient historians that record the historicity of these being real men and having a real encounter with one another. So I think that's worth saying as we begin that these are historical accounts of real people and that this matters. So the context, setting up the context of this passage in which we have Pontius Pilate, having a conversation with Jesus. I'm calling it an unnerving encounter with Jesus. The context of this is Jesus had just had the Last Supper with his disciples. So upper room, having a meal together, and Jesus introduces the Passover celebration when the Hebrew people would remember Moses leading the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and Jesus holds up this Passover bread and cup and says, now it's going to be a new covenant in my name. And so Jesus has this kind of amazing, astounding announcement at the Last Supper with his disciples. Then they go out to pray in an olive garden. And it's at that point that Judas, one of his own 12, betrays him, sets him up to be arrested. He's arrested at night in the cover of darkness for fear of crowds, for fear of popular opinion. He's arrested by kind of the religious council's guards. And he's brought to the home of Caiaphas, who's the chief priest. And the chief priest sets up kind of a rushed, late at night, in secret trial. So I just want to point out that by the Hebrews' own religious rules, if you go back to Old Testament, it was a false trial done without prior notice, and they did it very immorally by their own standards, unethically by their own standards. It wasn't a fair trial. And in the trial, they decide Jesus needs to die. But under Roman rule, right, the Jewish leaders, the Hebrew leaders, need to go to the government to carry out an execution. So at the scene of this conversation now is Jesus has been questioned, has been declared that he should die by the religious council called the Sanhedrin. He's been beaten and spit on and insulted and treated real terribly all night long and early in the morning. So, you know, if you're probably before the sun comes up kind of guy or gal, this was really early, probably before sunup. The religious leaders march, bring Jesus kind of to the edge of the property of Pilate, and they ask Pilate to come out to meet him. Did you catch that? Tim, pull up the scripture. It shows kind of the hypocrisy of the religious leaders because they don't want to be defiled. They want to be careful to eat the Passover meal, so they don't want to go in Pilate's house. Meanwhile, they've been unethically setting up a murder. So there's an irony in that. If you look at the beginning of this, they lead Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate. Now, who is Pilate? Pilate is the government leader, the governor of Judea, that region. And he's directly under the authority of the emperor. So he kind of has like jurisdiction, if you will, over this whole region to maintain order, to collect taxes, and to extend the power and the will of the emperor. And so under that, Pontius Pilate has the authority to bring executions, which he does often, to maintain order, to instill fear by the oppressed people, into the lives of the oppressed people especially. So here is this moment where the religious leaders bring this man, Jesus, to Pilate and say, he deserves death. You need to take care of him. And Pilate, being very reasonable, asks the question, what accusation do you bring against this man? And they kind of answer him, I think, with a bit of an attitude. Do you catch that? If this man were not doing evil, would we not have delivered him to you? They don't give a succinct answer. They just say, well, of course he's evil or we wouldn't have bothered you. Go to the next screen, Tim. So let's dig into this passage a little bit more. So Pilate kind of responds back in kind of this edgy way. Well, then take him for yourself and judge him. And the Jews say, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death, so we need you, right? We need you to put him to death. So then Pilate takes Jesus into his own headquarters. So if you can picture the scene, the religious leaders are going to stay outside, and Pilate brings Jesus into a room, into his headquarters, and kind of begins an interrogation. He wants to have an eye on this himself. So Pilate says to Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answers the question with a question, which, if you follow Jesus' words much, you'll notice this is a pattern. Jesus often answers a question with a question, which I think is brilliant. And Jesus answers, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say this to you about me? In other words, do you care about this? Is this really your question? Are you really thinking for yourself? Or is this just being fed to you? Pilate answers, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Tim, next slide. Now Jesus answers, but he doesn't answer the second question Pilate asks, what have you done? Jesus now begins to answer the first question. Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting that I would not be delivered. But my kingdom is not from this world. So Jesus begins to talk in language to this Roman governor who's under a king or under the emperor and basically says, yeah, I'm a king, indirectly, right? He's saying, yeah, I'm a king, but mine is a different kind of kingdom. It's not from this world. Now, to a physical Roman leader, I think Pontius Pilate would get less worried about this guy instantly. Okay, this is some spiritual nut. He's not talking about taking over the emperor or my jurisdiction. He's talking about some other kingdom, some spiritual realm. Okay, this isn't worthy of death. Because in Roman governmental rule, it wasn't needed to kill a religious figure. That was not a threat to the Roman rule. So Pilate responds by saying, so you're a kind of king, you're a king. And Jesus again answers indirectly, you say I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Let me read that again. For this purpose I was born. For this purpose I have come to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. To which Pilate responds with a question. Tim, would you flip it to the next slide? Pilate responds to Jesus' words with, what is truth? That's a million-dollar question, isn't it? We'll come back to that. Pilate, after having this weird discussion with Jesus, question with a question, with a question, with an indirect answer, with another question, with an answer, with a question. Like an unnerving conversation. And here's Pilate, this Roman governor who's, you know, having to address business early in his morning, not wanting to deal with this, not seeing this as a big deal. But then this guy, Jesus, is talking in spiritual terms about truth. And Pilate's like, what? So Pilate goes back outside to the religious leaders and says, I don't find any guilt in this man. And we have a custom on this season of the year to release someone for the Passover, to try to kind of honor your religious custom of the Passover. So would you like for me to release to you the King of the Jews, i.e. Jesus? But the religious leaders had bribed and whipped up the crowd there to shout out, no, we don't want Jesus, we want Barabbas. And so we're going to look at the next part of this encounter next week, what happens next. And if you want to read ahead, you can go to John 19 to find out more of the conversation with Pilate and how Pilate responds both to Jesus and to the religious leaders. But for today, I want us to focus in on Jesus' words to Pilate and Pilate's question. So Jesus' words to Pilate, right, Tim, would you flip back for us? He indirectly says, I'm a king. and then says, "For this purpose I was born and to come into the world, and I bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate, maybe we can get on our gruff Pilate voices, right? Says, "What is truth?" Go ahead, try your Darth Vader question. What is truth? And that's a $1 million question. I mean, philosophers through history, right, have had endless debates about this. What is true? What is real? What is right? What is good? How do you know truth? Is it all relative? Is it all the same? Does it not matter? What is truth? Right? You with me? Ever taken a philosophy class? Yeah? How do you know this chair is really a chair? I remember that first lecture in philosophy class. It's a very valuable question that Pilate's asking, a very legitimate one. And I think that Pilate and Jesus quickly went from this kind of superficial interrogation to a very unnerving encounter about some core ideation. Pilate talking to Jesus. Jesus starts talking about truth. And Pilate's going, "What is truth?" So what else did Jesus say about truth? I want to read to you just a few chapters before. Just a few chapters before, in chapter 14. Now, the context of chapter 14 is Jesus teaching his disciples, talking to his disciples during this time of the Last Supper. So these are some of Jesus's kind of core teachings before he goes to his death. And in John chapter 14, Jesus says to his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus, not talking indirectly, not speaking a question with a question, but talking very openly with his disciples, tells them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you know my Father. And from now on, you know God and have seen him." Did you catch that? Jesus, not directly, very directly, says, "I and the Father are one. And if you want to know who God is, know me. And when you see me, you've seen God. And I am the truth." So basically, Jesus says here, "I am the embodiment of truth." And so if you want to get philosophical around this point, I would say, as a believer, I think the truth is in a person. In Jesus. The truth was embodied in front of our eyes. And here was Pilate looking at Jesus, the truth, and asking the wrong question. Instead of, "What is truth?" perhaps he should have said, "Who is truth?" Now, of course, that has lots of implications for our philosophy, for our theology, for our living. There's a lot of things in our world spinning and changing, and what we thought about science in the 1800s and what we think about science now and our new conclusions and research, right? Life is changing rapidly in our world. I mean, we have scientific scholars in our midst. And so it's a very relevant question. And I think for us, I'm not here to say, faith and science are opposed or get into that debate. I'm here simply as a simple messenger looking at the scripture, saying to you, when Jesus and Pilate had a conversation, I think Pilate encountered more than he bargained for. I think Pilate went away from this day as a defining day for the rest of his life. Which I was researching, what happens to Pilate later? You know, like, what happens to him? How does he die? You know, he's not governor much longer. And then he gets called away. And they don't know for sure how he died, but many think he committed suicide from being kind of disgraced eventually. Neither here nor there, he didn't end up with the glamorous power that he shows right at this moment. So here's a man, you know, convinced of his power, able to put a man to death, soldiers at his command, a very powerful man at this moment. And he has this conversation with this man. I mean, think about it. This man who's bleeding and bound and in rags. And Jesus has the spine to stand up and say to him, my kingdom's not of this world, or you wouldn't have an ability to lay a finger on me. And I am a king, and I've come to testify to this truth. Elsewhere in Scripture, we know that Pilate's wife was having bad dreams. So much so that a message was sent to Pilate right around this same time, saying to Pilate, let me warn you, don't have anything to do with this man, Jesus. He's an innocent man. I have suffered greatly because of this man. So you don't think that Pilate didn't go home and have some really hard talks with his wife? I'm pretty sure they had some hard conversations later. So I just want to lift up this encounter that Jesus and Pilate have. And I want to suggest to you that I think this is a great philosophical passage for our day and time. What is truth? I think it's a question many of us are asking, people who believe in Christianity, people who do not, people who are just living life, looking for what is true. And I want to say that for those who are on a pursuit to look for truth, I think that's a beautiful thing. Whatever person's backgrounds or belief, I think that's a beautiful thing. Look for truth. Yes.
Give us a 6-year-old version. We had a question.
Yes. Yes.
Why did they put Jesus on the cross?
That is a great question. So we're going to talk about that next week. But basically, if I was going to give you a summary, Pilate was afraid of the people's opinion. And the leaders wanted him dead. So he did it in a way to keep the peace in the region, to keep it from rioting, to keep it from getting out of control. And because he thought maybe Jesus was a threat to the emperor. That's a great question. Why did they put Jesus on the cross? Do you have another thought? That's another profound statement. Governors or religious or governmental leaders who want to keep power at all costs are often afraid of people who want to talk about truth. Yeah? I think we could see that history repeat itself, can't we? What? Yeah, lots of philosophical writings around that, yeah. Yeah, and we're going to look at this more next week, right? Because this isn't the end of the conversation. Next, Pilate comes back out to talk to the Jewish leaders. The crowd is responding. And then Pilate, of course, kind of officially sentences him to death. Though he washes his hands to show, you guys want this, not me. So I think Pilate's own actions show he was unnerved. He was uncomfortable. He was unsettled about the justice he was asked to serve. So I want to leave kind of this unnerving question for all of us this week and right now for prayer. And let's just pray into that. What is truth? And do we see truth embodied in Jesus? Yes or no? And if the answer is no, I would invite you, encourage you to do some more exploring, some more reading of the Gospels, more exploring history. Try to disprove Jesus or prove it. That's a good pursuit. If the answer is yes, talk to God about that. But I just want to encourage you to sit a minute, just you personally, you reflecting on if you were having this conversation with Jesus and Jesus said to you, I have come to testify to the truth. For this I was born and for this I came into the world. Let's pray.